Hey, welcome to another Pastor Duke podcast coming to you from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Thank you for tuning in. Since the war in Israel broke out a couple months ago, my listenership has increased, and a lot of that's because of you, and I want to thank you. Going from about 8,000 listens per week to 11,000 listens per week thrills my heart, humbles me before God, motivates me to do the very best I can. Living here away from New York, my phone doesn't ring like it used to. I'm not providing the pastoral care that I love to do for all those years, but I'm able to focus on what's going on in our world and give you prophetic updates, which is what I am about to do right now. Why will Israel hook up with the Antichrist? Daniel 9:27 is our question. Today we zoom in on Daniel's end time prophecy in 9:27 and see if there are any dots to connect with the war in Israel with Hamas and Hezbollah as we speak. I'll show you why I believe there is a direct connection. What is happening now is laying the political and military foundation for this union with Antichrist in Israel, Daniel 9:27, in the time of the end, to soon be fulfilled. The good news is this event happens after the rapture of the church and kicks off. It's the beginning, the launching point, if you please, of what the scriptures call the 70th week of Daniel, also called the time of Jacob's trouble, not the time of the church's trouble. The church has been raptured out in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Come up hither. The church is never mentioned again in the book of Revelation because she's been rescued by the groom. The bride has been taken to the Father's house. But meanwhile, back here on earth, God is finishing up the Abrahamic covenant. I'll bless those who bless the Jew. I'll curse those who curse the Jews. And now the whole rest of the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 21, is Israel-centric, Jewish-centric. It's the culmination of God's plan for his chosen people, Israel. Daniel, in earlier writings, had prophesied the rise and fall of the world empires that would later appear. Babylon was in power at the time he wrote. It would fall to Persia. Persia would fall to Greece under Alexander the Great. And then Greece would fall to Rome, I like to call Rome Phase 1. And in the time of the end, according to Daniel, I like to call Rome Phase 2. And from the reunion of these old Roman Empire nations, and from this European Union, which would appear in the latter days, a global dictator, whom we commonly call the Antichrist, arises. So we begin to fit all the prophetic pieces of the puzzle together. We are taking, of course, a literal interpretation of the text. Number one, for this global dictator soon to be the Roman Empire, I like to call Westy in the end time scenario. There's northern power, Russia, etc., eastern power, China, southern power, the Islamic Caliphate soon to be among the Sunni nations. Well, this Western Union, I'll simply call Westies at the time of the end time scenario. It must be. Can you imagine looking at this text in 1944 and feeling this could never happen? But in 1993, the European Union was formed. In its beginning, it was called the European Economic Union. The European Economic Union was intended originally to be only for trade and financial benefit, but Scripture prophetically showed later in Revelation chapter 13 that it would be an end time war machine, which it is in process of happening now with NATO. Verse 4, as the world is impacted by this despot, this Antichrist, they're seeing supernatural powers from him, all demonic powers, and they say in Revelation 13, 4, who is able to make war with him? So it wasn't long until the European Union, Economic Union, simply became the European Union. 50 years ago, this all looked impossible. Today, it's our reality. So Westy is back. She's lined up. She's nuking up. She's developing the military, and all that's going on in Ukraine is cranking up the war machine for NATO. No surprise, surprise, surprise. The scriptures laid it all out in advance, and the Bible is never wrong. Number 2, Israel must be reborn. There had been no Israel from 70 AD when Roman military general Titus laid siege to Jerusalem. For the next 1900 years, they were called the Wandering Jew, a genetically distinct people group with no homeland, a persecuted people like no other, culminating at Hitler's Holocaust, 1939 to 1945, nearly euthanized from the planet as Satan hates everything God loves. World sympathies rose for the Jews when the Allies at the end of World War II uncovered the heinous crimes of the Nazis upon the Jewish people. Then, May 14, 1948, against all odds, after nearly two millennia, Israel declares its independence once again, and they win their war of independence against 120 million Muslim Arab neighbors. Who'd have thunk it? Well, the scriptures predicted it, and so it is. Number 3, in 1967 was another major war. We call it the Miracle Six-Day War in Israel, when 3 million Jews defeated 200 million Arab Muslims and retook their holy city, Jerusalem, along with the West Bank from Jordan. Remember, there's never been a Palestine. They took the Golan Heights from Syria, the Sinai and Gaza from Egypt, which the Sinai, they gave back a land for peace deal with Egypt, which has stood for the past three decades. 75 years ago, none of this seemed possible. None of this was in place. Today, it's all in place. The Jews are home. The holy city is retaken. These are major signs of the time of the end. These are the things Jesus was speaking about. He said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up. They are converging in our day. We're watching it all fit together. According to 2 Thessalonians 2:4, the Antichrist headquarters in the city of Jerusalem, you know, because normally you would think the Western power would be in England, London, Paris, Berlin. No, it's in Jerusalem. He sits in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. This ultimate blasphemy is called by Daniel the abomination of desolation, Daniel 9:27. Are you seeing how all the prophetic pieces of the puzzle are fitting together? So we now have all the players lined up. When we get to our text in Daniel 9:27, and he, the Antichrist, this is from the text, confirms the covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week. The English word week here comes from the Hebrew word, which means seven. So it's a seven-year covenant, a peace deal, between Antichrist and the Jewish people. The Antichrist steps up to be their defender. They trust in him. In this soon-to-come global impacting moment, the nation of Israel is deceived to believe that this newly risen Western leader is a good guy, their answer man, maybe, some think, their Messiah. They trust him, but only 3.5 years later, they find they have been deceived. This one they trusted turns out worse than Hitler. He will stop the Jewish worship system they are prophesied to soon resume in a new temple in Jerusalem. I've been listening to lots of podcasts this last week about those plans in operation, which for the Jews to build anything on the Temple Mount, especially if they build it in the real site of the temple where the Dome of the Rock now stands, oh my goodness, politically things are brewing, and it's going to be a most interesting year. And so all of that is fitting together. Well, the Antichrist in power, the Jews thought he was their answer man. Now, he's sitting in their temple in blasphemy, claims to be God, and forbids them access to their own new temple. He enthrones himself in that temple, declares himself to be God, institutes his infamous mark of the beast. All that technology is in place. That seemed like Star Trek 50 years ago, and yet today it's an everyday occurrence. The mark of the beast, technology is all here for him to control the commerce of the world. Here, now in power, he declares war on the Jewish people from within their borders, and the Jews are forced to flee into the wilderness, just like Jesus promised it would in Matthew 24 and again in Luke 21. Just like God led and kept Israel in the Exodus from the time of their escape from Egypt under Moses, feeding them with manna, water came from the rock. He sustained them those 40 years in the wilderness supernaturally. The world was watching. They couldn't stop it. In southern terms, well, God is fixing to do it all over again, but this time not for 40 years, this time for just 3.5 years. It's at the end of those 3.5 years of the Antichrist tyranny that Jesus returns at Armageddon to save Israel and destroy the armies of the Antichrist and the kings of the East at that final and decisive battle of Armageddon. This is when Zechariah says the Messiah's feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives with all the enemies destroyed. He binds Satan in the bottomless pit, sets up his millennial kingdom. 1,000 years paradise is about to unfold on planet Earth. But the main focus of the podcast today is how that's going to be. How is Israel going to fall into the hands of the Antichrist? Why are they going to trust him? Why are they going to hook up Antichrist in Israel, Daniel 9:27? What is happening now in the Israeli-Hamas-Hezbollah Iranian proxy war? It's only when you know the big picture, which I just gave you, you can begin to fit into the minor issues. But meaningful details. You got to get the big picture to fit into smaller things. They're meaningful. And that's what's happening today. What moves Israel into the hands of the evil one at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, which is called the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble? Something huge has to happen to trigger this event. Since 1948, Israel has been leaning strong on the United States. Even now, the United States has a fleet of warships just offshore of Israel to deter other Jew-hating nations from jumping into the fray. A huge point now, America is not mentioned in biblical prophetic end-time scenario. Why might that be? Many, including myself, see America possibly in Ezekiel 38, where Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, and Turkey join to attack Israel from the north, and his Western leader, Antichrist, Israel's now has Antichrist problems, and this Russian coalition will come from the north to fight against him. You see, in verse 13, Ezekiel 38, 13, Tarshish and all her young lions thereof diplomatically opposing this war, but not lifting so much as a finger to help. If Tarshish is England, a young lion of Tarshish would be the United States. not helping Israel, not wanting them to fall, but for some reason no longer helping them. Why? I would say because America no longer has the power to help really anybody. Here's what I see happening right now. With our $160 billion to Ukraine and all we've sent in addition to that to Israel, and I'm down with, I'm good with, and all the money we have given to the Golan Heights. We've funded both sides of this. We've sent billions of dollars to Hamas. They're supposed to feed the people. They don't. They make tunnels that they buy weapons from Iran to create the war machine. America in its madness has funded both sides of this. Oh my goodness, come quickly, Lord Jesus, get us out of here. But putting it all together, all the money we've spent on these wars, and in addition to that, the millions, hundreds of millions given to illegals now in our country, we are beyond bankrupt. Our dollar is dying. Our enemies don't fear us. Our allies don't trust us. Inflation is killing us. Sodom is ruling us morally. Corruption owns the Democratic Party and a whole lot of the Republican Party. It's like a uniparty, except for some that want to just get back to the old American Constitution. That's for another day. Our DOJ, CIA, FBI, and all are have all been politically weaponized, and corruption is controlling our country, in my view. I believe our elections are corrupt, our education is corrupt, our American chickens have come home to roost. We are reaping what we have sown. We are soon to collapse from being that great military power that we have been for such a long time. We are going to collapse from within, exactly as the communist playbook said, the U.S. decline in power. I see because of Americans' decline, it will force Israel into the hands of the Antichrist. America ain't what we used to be. America is reaping what America has sown. God's judgment, in my view, and if I'm wrong, I'm glad. But in my view, God's judgment has begun in America. In other words, the Jews have nowhere else to go. Also, as we watch the war in Israel, now completing over 2 months, the cost financially to the Israeli people is staggering. Their weapons are being used up. According to Zechariah 12:3, a whole fight against them will be cut into pieces, and that is happening. But along the way, the financial cost is huge. They are being economically drained as commerce has nearly ceased in Israel. Tourism has stopped. That's their biggest industry. 2 million Jews are presently out of their homes, living in hotel rooms, trying to seek security and safety as bombs are being lofted all over Israel to the south and in the north. This war is putting the Jewish backs to the wall, and America will no longer be of help, forcing them into the arms of the Antichrist and his treaty, Daniel 9:27. As we speak, the global war machines are on highest alert. Hatred among the nations and distrust has World War III in most everyone's mind. Armageddon is a common thought, even to those who are ignorant of Scripture. The Ezekiel 38 Russian coalition, I like to call Northy, became complete just a few weeks ago as Turkey's President Erdogan has declared alliance with Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, the Russian Northern Coalition, pulling them away and out of NATO. This is huge, and it has just happened just a matter of weeks ago, right before our eyes, Bible prophecy fulfilled. As I've said before, the Bible is never wrong. Can you see how the stage is now all set? And now, the most exciting part of the message today, as I mentioned earlier, there has to be some major event to trigger final unfolding of prophetic events. I would suggest that big event very well could be the rapture of the church, which will be the biggest global divine event since the resurrection of Jesus. We know clearly from 2 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8 that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit is taken out of his way. And where does the Holy Spirit live? In all true believers. I like to say Antichrist can't come until we go. When the rapture hits planet Earth, it will be huge. People will understand it was something supernatural. The world will be paralyzed by fear until the Antichrist, in my view, the Western-based answer man, explains it all to them. To the nations, every kindred, tribe, and tongue, with a big fat lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 11 says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, will believe a lie. The Antichrist will feed them a big lie to explain away the rapture of the church. I used to think he'd say the wrath of God came upon the children of disobedience, which is the exact opposite of the truth. And now I'm starting to think, man, all this UFO talk and aliens, and maybe the lie will be aliens came and abducted these evil people because they wouldn't join the Brotherhood of Humanity to save the planet from the people. Who knows? But it will be a lie, and it will be effective, and Antichrist will be on the throne. He will declare himself to be God. He will persecute the Jewish people. He will institute the mark of the beast. And my friends, it's all on the table. It's set. When the Holy Spirit comes and takes out the church of Jesus Christ, there'll be no more restraint. He'll set up his show. And with all satanic power and deception, it'll be earth-shattering. And I think, you know, when that moment takes place, I think any present war that would be going on would be satanically stopped. I think he's the one behind the both sides of all these wars, just trying to kill people. He is at the heart of all historic war machines. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, he rides in on his apocalyptic white horse of peace. But it's a very short season of peace until a couple of verses later, he rides in on his red horse of war. That white horse of peace, that short season, he seems like some kind of a savior. The leader this broken world has longed for and so long needed. It's a meteor optic ascension to global power. But soon that red horse of war hits. And people would say, well, what do you think the first war would be? I see the kings of the south, Islam, a Sunni Muslim caliphate, watching the Antichrist sign up with Israel to defend her. And whoever loves Israel, it's maybe a false love, but it seems that way to the world. Islam has had enough. They unite together to come up from the south, the kings of the south, to fight against Israel. This is all out jihad. See, in their Islamic prophetic view, jihad is something that honors God. They unite together like they never have before to fight against Israel, their common enemy. And they believe that they're going to so please Allah by this jihad that he will release the Mahdi, the Islamic savior, redeemer, from the well where he presently waits in occultation, waiting for Allah to be happy with Islam for their jihad. Allah will release their Mahdi from the well, and he will conquer the world for Islam. Well, they'll find out that's not the biblical prophetic picture. They'll find out they've been wrong. They will be defeated. In Israel, the first battle of Armageddon, where the South comes against Antichrist in Israel. And simultaneously, it seems, when Russia comes from the North with Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, and Turkey, simultaneously, you pick that up in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40. It seems they hit at the same time. They are supernaturally wiped out by God. The Antichrist is defending Israel. He claims to be God. This massive war comes against him, against the Jews, and the enemy is smitten supernaturally. And that's why I think it says in Revelation 13:4, as the world watches, that's why they say, who's able to make war with him? They're seeing the hand of God. He's taking credit for, the Antichrist is taking credit for what God is doing. And the world is freaking out, and Israel has nowhere to go but to flee into the wilderness. Now, it's interesting. Ezekiel 38:11 talks about when this time comes, Israel will be living in unwalled villages. Well, let me tell you, today they're not unwalled villages. They are walled up and they are armed to the hilt. And so this deal with the Antichrist coming, Daniel 9:27, is really powerful. Israel really does trust him. They kind of let down their arms because we can, we're safe. He's the military might of the world, and we're just trusting in him. Well, they find out they've trusted the wrong one. But along the way, those first few years, many Jews seem to believe that he could be their Messiah. They fully embrace him, and when Islam watches this, that's when the kings of the south just freak out, and we have the war coming up from the south, and then we have the war coming in from the north. And the two first major battles of Armageddon have hit, waiting, of course, for Eastie, China, to come in at the end of that 3.5-year period of time for the final battle. And so, are you seeing how it all fits together? You see, Satan's goal is not for one side to win, but for all sides to be destroyed. He's a murderer from the beginning. He knows his days are numbered, and it all ends with King Jesus returning to destroy the last man standing at Armageddon. He will cast Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire, Satan into the bottomless pit, and save Israel, who is finally awakened that Jesus of Nazareth really was and is their Messiah. Israel looks upon his nail-scarred hands. This is in Zechariah chapter 12 and 13. Israel weeps. They connect the dots. All heaven breaks loose. The Jews are saved. Two-thirds of the Jews have died in the tribulation, but one-third is saved in the end. Jesus will be their king. David will be their prince. The government will be upon Christ's shoulders. The government will not be a democracy. It'll be a theocracy with a perfect judge. His kingdom has come. Oh, my. This is how I see the scenario unfolding. 2024 will be the most interesting year of my life. 24 will begin with World War III looming, digital money taking over little by little, the World Health Organization being empowered, the vote comes next May, to control global medicines, vaccines, and lockdowns, the nations yielding their sovereignty to something global. Oh my, a step closer to the Antichrist's centralization of control for everything. A U.S. presidential election incoming in November. Warnings of cyber attacks. Another pandemic looms with the catastrophic contagion, according to Bill Gates. The UN Agenda 2030 continues its globalist agenda. Sodom rules the world's moral agenda. Borders are wide open. Fentanyl will kill 100,000 Americans again. Human trafficking, though exposed, is being ignored and covered up. It may be the year God says, I've had enough. Oh my, it's a yucky world out there, isn't it? But none of this is by surprise. Aren't you glad God laid it all out in advance? Isaiah said like five times, he has told us the end from the beginning. And you and I, in the providence of God, are living in those days. The nations are aligned. The Jews are home. The world is convulsing.
Sodom is back, just like he said. So my friends, I realize none of this is good news in itself, but it's all pointing to fabulous news. It's a time of the end. If you've not given your heart to Christ, I'd suggest that you do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I remember that little prayer I prayed June 18th, 1972, as a little boy, like in my heart. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. He's the Savior. I'm the sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. That's what it takes. It's not the words. It's the cry of your heart. So give it all to Jesus. And please help me to get this message out. Thank you for sharing it with your friends. Appreciate if you would subscribe to my podcast and help those algorithms to be in place so even the devil can get this message out to more people. So, hey, thanks for tuning in. Love you. Have a great day. Lord bless. See you next time.